fell on you. Because you're mine.
I'm Scarlet.
And I am Blackbird. And you're listening to Hex Rated. Okay, that's a little much. But I don't know.
Is that your NPR voice?
No, I have a NPR voice and then like a 900 number voice. Which one?
Ooh, I like that one.
Which one are you interested in tonight? Oh my God.
What are we talking about?
Super Sorcerer Sunday.
That's right.
You have things to tell me. First of all, I need a report.
Okay, so I got my mat.
Yes.
And I tried it out on Wednesday.
Yes.
And I only did it for like less than 15 minutes, which I don't think was enough.
Okay.
And so then I tried it a little bit ago for probably like 25 minutes or so.
For research purposes. Except,
yes. And probably because I was also listening to the last episode. So
nice.
So I was not giving it my undivided attention.
Right.
But I have a question for you. So do you like wear a shirt when you do it? Because I did it with like my bare naked back on it.
Yeah.
And
bare naked
that
back.
Was pretty intense. Yes.
Yeah, I do.
So
it.
That's what I did. So my experience so far has been that it does feel uncomfortable to me, especially like there were places where I have a lot of tension anyway. It seems like the mat, like the acupressure action, is like actually honing in on that.
Yes.
So I have this little knot that's like under my shoulder blade from basically where my like mouse clicker finger attaches to my shoulder. And so right there, I mean, it felt like almost like a burning sensation, like a sunburn.
Yeah. Yep. I have had this experience as well.
Yes. And I mean, it wasn't unbearable, but I think both of us have a pretty high tolerance. I have a high tolerance for burning. You have quite a high tolerance for tattoo needles.
Yeah.
So that was not super uncomfortable. I think what helped me a lot was you warning me to not move, because that basically like resets the process.
Yeah.
Because I am a fidgety ADD motherfucker.
Right.
So laying there was really difficult for me. I think next time I will probably try to like listen to something like a guided meditation, or instead of just sort of like half listening to myself talking on a podcast.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Like, I am pretty good at laying still.
I mean, I am not. Knowing that I had to made it easier. Otherwise, I would have like kept fidgeting and getting up and
it literally doing all this does other stuff. Reset the pain, though, in my opinion. Like, as soon as I like move one spike out of place, I'm back to zero, you know?
Right. So, yeah. So, but
keep trying.
I didn't quite get to the Nirvana place, because I think I need to do it longer.
Yeah.
But I did experience where it almost started to feel like it was waving. Like, I felt this like kind of undulating feeling where sometimes I would feel like I'm floating, or sometimes I would feel the texture of the mat like come in waves.
Yes.
Like down my back.
Yes.
So there is a very trippy sort of dissociative sensory overload kind of situation. So I enjoyed that very much. So I think I just need to keep doing it and do it longer and maybe do something where I can kind of focus my mind. So I don't want to move.
Right.
And I'm like taking advantage of this prop to do something that's like meditative. So like a guided meditation or like a breathing exercise or something I can listen to. But I think I need to do it for at least 25 minutes, because when I did it for 15, it just wasn't really enough.
I'll say this. It's gotten, like I said in the podcast, it's gotten quicker. Like, my ability to, like, attune myself to that mat and not feel as ouchy as it does right in the beginning. Like, it has, and it depends on the day or how I'm feeling, but it has decreased since I started using it now. This ties in beautifully to what has been going on with me this week, because there has been a big lizard in the house for the week. Now, when I say what? Big, at first, when I saw this lizard wrestling with my baby cat, I thought it was like the size what? Of the cat. Yeah. Well, this is all my conjured imagination, because the lizard in reality was maybe 6 or 7 inches head to tail. I mean, a decent sized lizard, not like a tiny gecko or a tiny little green lizard. I mean, it was a pretty big lizard, and they're called alligator lizards, so they have these really cool markings down the Ooh. Down their back. They have this very beautiful marking, but it's, you know, it's a pretty, it's, I don't know, it's a pretty good sized lizard, and it's like in my house. So when I saw her wrestling with it, I was freaking out. I'm like, oh god, this thing is gonna hurt her. And then it scurried off and hid somewhere in the house for the next 4 fucking days. So I named it Flip Flop. And
excellent.
I haven't.
That's a good one.
Had not seen. Well, he came out. So we had one. Of course, you know, my husband had started back to work this week. So all of this is happening while he is not home. So Flip Flop ran under the couch. He came out once. The cat's kind of like pawed at him, and I tried to capture him, but poorly, because I am also freaked out that it is a lizard and I don't really want to touch it. And of course they bite. I've read that they bite. So I did not get it. It ran under something else. But today my husband's just walking through the bedroom and it's just sitting in the middle of the floor. He's like, oh, he's not dead. Flip Flop lives. So he was able to get him after it did try to bite him, and he was able to put on a glove and grab him. And, I mean, it's not like, I don't know that how bad it's going to hurt if they do bite you. It says painful on the internet, but, you know, that's subjective. Anyway, I haven't laid on the mat for a week because of Flip Flop, and I didn't want him like being crawling on the floor. I know, but I was scared. I didn't want him to. Why is that so funny?
It's hilarious.
I was very scared of Flip Flop. But
aww, he has been remanded to like the wild. Card.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, I felt really bad after I saw him the second time. I was like, oh, that's not. I told everybody this thing was a foot long. It was not. It was really not. So it's much bigger and scarier in my mind the first time. And then when he wouldn't come out, I was like, he's going to die and it's going to be my fault. And I could have saved little Flip Flop, but he was okay. Just chilling. And now he's outside in the garden having a lovely time. One can only assume. But that being said, laying on the mat tonight, motherfucker, like, I don't care what else is running around in this house. I'm taking a chance.
Oh my well, God. There is a full-size beaver on the loose in downtown Plano. Someone caught a video of it the Sunday before last, and he's just waddling down 15th Street, like, what? And he would stop and, like, look in all the doorways. Like, he's big. Like, he's as big as my dachshund. Oh. And so, of course, my dachshund, Mr. Herman, has been on the lookout because he wants to meet this beaver very badly.
Can I but we ask, haven't... where did the beaver, like, are there just, like, beavers in Plano?
I didn't... No. I mean, they are here in North Texas.
Okay.
But, like, not. I've never seen one, ever.
I've never
and
seen one
And as far
in
as
life.
I know, they're not, I mean... This is not its habitat. To answer your question, no, I don't know where he came from.
Okay.
It's a mystery. But he was a full size hefty beaver, so holy wherever shit. He came from, he's doing fine. So
oh my god. Man, I can also just fuck the people that if it was like somebody's pet, fuck those people for having
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't
good.
Know that I mean
how do you, what do you Maybe. Even do with the
I don't even know why I'm ruling it out. I mean, I guess it's possible.
It's 100% possible. It's just in the backyard chewing up logs or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like they would evade captivity quite easily with the
giant teeth.
Things. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, so that was my big activity is lizard watch 2021. I'm sure there's more to talk about, but that was a very major part of my week. Well, not that I am not. I hope you're not disappointed. See, this was my fear with the mat. It's like, well, just because it works for me doesn't mean it works for everybody. But I do hope that you will try it again. But it is quite painful at first. It is true.
That wasn't really the problem. It's the staying still that was really a problem for me. And also the length of time. So I think I just need to do it for... Because then I went back because I was listening to the podcast as I was doing it. And you were saying that the original ad was like... 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then like 25, and I was like, oh yeah, I was only doing like less than 15 minutes the first time I tried it. So
yeah, like
no,
I
but
do...
it definitely stuff was happening. It felt and I mean, I know that like acupuncture and acupressure in terms of the meridians and stuff is not super scientific,
right?
But it's also incredibly hard, like the science on it, it's really hard to duplicate because you're either getting stabbed with a needle or you're not. So really the only thing they can test in a controlled setting is if doing the action in specific traditional meridian areas or whatever actually has a bigger effect than just doing it anywhere on your body, and that would be the control or the placebo.
Right.
But of course, like if you're getting poked with something, I mean, I think we all anecdotally, anyone that's ever had a piercing or worked out really hard and like felt their muscles burning or had a tattoo, like you get that rush of endorphins because your body is rushing to repair these micro tears either in your muscle or in your dermis. And you know, you get a rush of collagen production to the surface of your skin. You know, you get like an immune response. It stimulates blood. So there's a million things that are going on that seem as though they would have easily identifiable medical benefits. I think that there is some legitimate science to it. Although when I tried to look up like scientific papers about it, it's mostly just like meridians aren't real, and I'm like, okay, right, that's fine. Okay,
whatever. I'll say this, I might have said this last episode, but it doesn't always work for me 100% of the time either. There will be nights that I lay on it, and like I said, it's either my state of mind or whatever that I'm just not, like I don't feel the feeling. But more often than not, if I can just get myself into a quiet, still position and concentrate on whatever the conduit is, still a mystery, but I'm going with it. Like if I can just concentrate on that or try to actually journey, that is usually when it happens. So it's also, it'll be interesting to see next weekend if I have something to report about not doing it for a week solid. And seeing what it's like, you know, coming back to it. So, funsies.
Oh, flippy floppy.
Oh, flip flop ruined my shit. What about, now you had a brunch time today for...
That's right. We'd seen my husband's mom and stepfather, I think, once or twice this year. We didn't see them for a real long time. Because we obviously didn't want to expose them, right, and we didn't want to get exposed from them. But everyone's vaccinated now, so we did Mother's Day here, and I did a brunch.
Nice.
Which was basically Scarlett puts carbs and dairy in pans and bakes them.
Fuck yeah.
And sees what happens. So it was like no recipes, me just putting... spices,
eggs,
bread, cheese, eggs, into things and baking them. So I made...
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. So in my crock pot, I made this kind of like savory, like strata bread pudding thing. So it was, I had like a ciabatta loaf. So I sliced that and put a layer. And then I mixed up some like... heavy cream and some bouillon cubes and some eggs and some cream of mushroom soup.
Oh my God.
And I poured
that
on. Amazing. And then I just put some, like, washed, raw, trimmed spinach. And then I put some Swiss cheese and some, like, Parmesan and, like, Romano, like, you know, Italian hard cheese blend. And then I just did several layers of that. I put a little bit, you know, salt and pepper and some nutmeg. Oh, and I had, like, this, like, old-fashioned style mustard in the fridge. I don't even know where it came from, but it's, like, basically, like, whole mustard seeds.
Yeah.
So I put that in there because I was like, I need some zip.
Why not?
We'll see. And so then I just turned on the crock pot, and that turned out great.
Yeah.
And then I made bananas Foster French toast.
Yum.
Which I got some Hawaiian bread and sliced it up and put it in a pan. And then again, put cream and eggs and cinnamon over it. It got a little burned, but then I made Foster's sauce and sauteed some bananas and poured that over it. And it was fine.
Dude, you are.
And then there's more.
I'm already tortured. Go.
And then originally I was going to make for the sort of savory egg spinach dish. I had seen some people do like a hash brown crust for it. And that seemed like a cool idea until I was like, that seems like real hard. Like, whatever. That's too many steps. But I still had this bag of hash browns. So I put the bag of potatoes in the pan and I sauteed some garlic and onion. And then I put a bunch of half and half over it and some, like, some Greek yogurt to kind of I made, like, a roux. So a little bit of butter and flour and cream and Greek yogurt. And I put some, like, taco sauce in there to give it some, like,
fuck
zip.
Yeah.
And then a shit ton of cheddar cheese. And I just put that in a shallow glass dish. Oh, and then I crushed up some Ritz crackers and put some melted butter on them and sprinkled that on top.
Like,
and then
do.
I baked that.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, that was amazing. And I just had some before we started our call, and after it had sat in the fridge for a few hours and got reheated, it's even better.
I feel like you should
make a
cookbook or, like, a, you know, a collection of recipes that's just like, here's what I did. You could just call it, here's what I did. And it's just like this list
unfortunately, no one could use it because I don't know what any of the measurements of things that I put in there was. I was just like, I don't know. That seems enough. That seems like it's not too liquidy.
But I feel like that's perfect because you could just be like, listen, take these ingredients. This is just mishmash these ingredients. Put it in a pot. The end. I mean, like, your shit is delicious. I think people that do not have the pleasure of knowing you or eating your delicious foods don't know. Like, you are such an intuitive cook. And it's like, I'm so, like, envious of it because I mean, like, I can be intuitive with baking, but I can't with, I mean, I'm okay, like, I would argue that I am a pretty decent cook, but, like, you pick out shit, like, who would put whole mustard in this thing? Like, you pick out shit that I would never think to put in something.
Well,
it's just great. It's great.
Here's some shadow work for you. I realize that the reason why I cook the way I do is because I feel like if I have people over and it's not something I made by hand, that I'm somehow cheating. And that also, if it's not, like, my recipe, if I just follow someone else's recipe, that is somehow also cheating.
Oh my God.
And by cheating, I mean I have less authority to brag about it later. So really all of this is because I want people to enjoy the food. And then when they ask me, where did you get it? I'll be like, I made it.
Yeah.
I slaved in the kitchen for hours, days. It was a whole thing. And they'll be like, oh my God, like, can I have the recipe? And I'm like, there is no recipe. I just made it up.
Sorry.
So So anyway, my process that sounds very much like intuitive and just like for the love of cooking is all about me being a giant show off and wanting to impress people.
I do enjoy that you recognize that about yourself.
That's pretty much why I do anything.
Well, also, I am very enthralled and excited about the results you get with this methodology. I think it works for you. I think, you know, until it stops
working. Well, it turns out good. I mean, it would be really sad if I did all this and then it turned out shitty. And so my, very convoluted method of trying to impress people, massively failed.
Not good.
And so they were like... They were like, maybe you should have used a recipe, or maybe you should have just ordered in.
I think if you were a person that hadn't been doing that most of your adult life, maybe. But since that's kind of the way you've been cooking for, at least as long as I've known you, which can't even believe that it has been over 10 years now that we have known each other and been friends.
Frenzy friends.
Speaking of frenzy friends, our mutual frenzy friend that we talked about last time sent me a video today of a black cat that looks very much like my baby cat, and its best friend is an almond. It carries.
What?
Yes. I'm not
sure. That's not what I expected you to say.
I know, right?
It doesn't eat it. It just carries it around.
Carries it around. Sleeps with it. Plays with it. Now, it's not always the same almond. She does say that she has given the cat many almonds, but that it carries it like a little baby and plays with it, you know, whatever. But so I was like, all right, here's my opportunity to recreate something on the internet that has been, that's great, very entertaining. And this cat is also crazy. The one in the video, it's jumping all around and its tail's all big and fluffy. It looks like it's mad, but it's really just having a good time with the almond. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to put this. We got some trail mix just to have for snacks. And I was like, okay, it's got an almond in it. I'm going to take an almond out and give it to the cat. That cat did not give a shit, did not play with it, barely looked at it. And then the bigger cat came along and ate half of it. So almond experiment nullified.
I love a fucking almond.
Me too. But I wanted a cute little cat that loved an almond too. You know what her favorite best friend is? A fucking bread tie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. My little kaiju likes string pieces of plastic.
Yes.
That have, you know, wrappers for things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Baby cat, when we first moved to California... I bought some plastic shelves for outside or whatever. And you know how they're wrapped in that plastic strapping?
Yes, that. Yes, exactly.
So I cut this strap off to make the shelves. And she loves that strap. We have kept it since we moved here. So that's a 4-year-old piece of plastic that has just been laying on my floor. It's gross. But you could give her another thing that looks similar, from a similar thing. Nope, it's not original. If it's not original plastic strap, it's no good. So,
did I tell you about Flippity Fish?
No.
Oh my God. Okay, so my parents watch a lot of cable television, and so apparently the hot thing being marketed to people that stay at home and watch the news all day is this cat toy that's called Flippity Fish, you know, TM, and it is all over television commercials, which I don't watch anymore because I'm always watching streaming stuff. Same. So my parents were like, well, we have a great grand kitten, because of course the kitten is not my child. The kitten is my dachshund Herman's child.
Oh, of course.
And Herman is my child. So we are the grandparents, and my parents are the great grandparents.
I like this.
But anyway, I've never had a cat. They've never had cats. And so they were like, well,
let's buy this thing.
Yeah. TV made for TV, as seen on TV products. How could they go wrong? Let's get the Flippity Fish.
For sure.
Now, they had to go to 3 different stores to find it. It was sold out. And they got the last one at Bed Bath & Beyond. And what it is it's like the size of like a medium fish. I'd say like, I don't know, 8 inches or so. Okay. And it's fabric and it's stuffed with, you know, stuffing, but it's very realistic. It's printed to look like a real fish. And it comes with like a little fishing pole so you can taunt your kitty with it. And it's full of catnip, which is obviously
the best.
A secret ingredient there. And then it has a little motor in it. So it'll, like, it's motion activated. So when your kitty starts pawing at it, it'll like
flip its tail. Ooh.
Yeah. So my cat did not really enjoy the flippity. But when it was off, he would like pick it up with both hands and like fling it in the air. Like, I didn't know cats had this ability.
Oh, yeah.
To throw things like 5 feet in the air. But he was like losing his mind about this. Like, complete carnage of him going after fucking flippity fish. And so it was like, it's definitely in like the top five of holiday presents.
For sure.
Ever.
Wow.
Because it was a home run. It has since been basically completely destroyed.
You need a new one.
Because my dog has also been gnawing on it too. Because it's large. He thinks it's for him. But so basically I just have this like sad chewed up flippity fish carcass where the motor came out, which was kind of fine. And then a bunch of the stuffing. So now it's just, and so I'll just shove some catnip in there. And
we have a now.
This is not about witchcraft at all. What are we even talking about?
I don't know. We should probably do something witchy. I don't know. I thought this was like catch-up time. Shit.
I mean, it is for us. I don't.
It's true. Don't people want to listen to things about our cats and shit? Sure they do.
I mean, I feel like.
I will not go into our vast collection of cat bananas at this point. I think the relationship with Flip Flop was my exercise in wishes, which I failed terribly. I was very afraid.
So Flip Flop is not your familiar.
No, but I did start feeling empathy with Flip Flop when I thought he was going to die under my couch for lack of food and water. My husband said when he got him, like finally got him, picked him up and he wasn't trying to like hiss or bite at him. He had like all kinds of like, you know, dust and shit in his mouth because he's been under our furniture for forever. Like he took him over to the fountain to try to give him a little drink and the lizard was not having it. Man,
Godspeed.
Do we just need to record a whole new half an hour since all we've done is talk about a lizard and Matt reacting?
Well, it started off about the Matt, so that Flip Flop is topical.
True.
Well, I had a question prompt. I don't know. I was going to say, tell me what books you're reading right now that you've started but haven't finished.
Oh, my God. I have so many.
That are just laying. Well, I know. Me too. So, like, pick three.
This is a fun. That's a fun prompt. Okay. Well, I am about, I would say, 30% through The Midnight Library by Matt Haig, which has a book previous to that that I had read, which is called Reasons to Stay Alive. And it is a British man's account of his battle with depression, and the reasons to stay alive was really, really well done and really brilliant and really just like a snippet of like how he felt when he was going through it, kind of how he started coming out of it, and a lot of advice as far as like the things that he would hear from other people that helped him. Not like to do, but like reasons that you're happy to be alive. So it was kind of like, it's a bestseller. So I don't want to like say, I mean, I think his writing style is kind of simplistic. So it's not the, you know, fictional glory that I live for, but the fiction piece, The Midnight Library is fiction, also about a woman who is contemplating suicide, but then she gets kind of magically transported to this library that's like basically in her mind that shows her different versions of how her life could go or could have gone if she was willing to like stick around. So they're both kind of like heavy subjects, but they're written, like I said, kind of simplistically, so it makes it kind of lighter material. I do like it, and I finished Reasons to Stay Alive, and like, it's a really quick read. Midnight Library is seemingly as quick as well. I just haven't been reading a lot. So that one's still open. A book called The Overstory, which is it's fiction. It's about families and it's about trees. And I have only like scratched the surface of that one. It is a big, big book. That might be it right now. I don't have there's another one that's, Zodiac. I finally got a copy of Zodiac. So that one's probably, I don't know, I'm probably 3 or 4 chapters in. Why do I do this to myself? Like, I really do try to read a whole book, and it just, I don't know. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. What about you?
I started reading and I was going on a tear about it, and then I got distracted and started reading some other stuff. But I was reading, let me find it. It is Redland, Blackland, Daily Life in Ancient Egypt by Barbara Mertz. So it's nonfiction, but her voice is just adorable and charming. She's, I'm not sure what age she is, but like, as you can imagine, like being an archaeologist, you know, in the 50s or 60s or 70s, a lot of sexism. All these motherfuckers think that they're fucking Indiana Jones,
yeah,
and that the ladies are there to like,
bring
make
them
the
tea.
Coffee.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you're going to places that are, you know, generally pretty conservative societies that are also like I remember my Latin teacher told me that she went to go see Pompeii as a student, and they wouldn't let women in because, you know, some of the mosaics are naughty.
Oh my
There's
God.
some pornographic mosaics, and they were like, you're not allowed to see. And she's like, motherfucker, I'm getting a degree in like classical studies, and I'm all the way here. So
you let me in. I want to see the dirty mosaics.
So her tone is really hilarious. Egyptology is a pretty hilarious field. There's like a disproportionate amount of drama with it because there's so few Egyptology departments,
right?
And it's so small, and like so much of it is like these rich, like old eccentric people that fund this stuff or like want to be. A woman that grew up and got educated and worked in that environment, obviously like is going to be a pistol.
Yeah.
So her tone and her voice is very entertaining, which in what could be a kind of dry subject, but it's super interesting and witchy because I, as I have mentioned, work with the Egyptian deities a lot, reading about daily life, reading about life in Egypt in any capacity is really interesting, but what average people were doing, because they had a pretty robust kind of middle class, because you had tons of artisans and merchants and craftspeople. So, you know, the lives of those people, and also people that, you know, were laborers, people doing construction, people that were servants to royalty or whatever. So hearing about their daily life, things about, you know, how they constructed their homes and what they were eating and like what the traditions were about like marriage, or how average people experienced religion and what they did and all of this kind of stuff is really, really, really interesting and has lots to say about. So I need to finish it and do a review, but I need to get back on that. And so far, I recommend it. The other book that I have been picking up and putting down is Pombagira by, what is it, Nikolai Defrut. He's got like a German name.
All right.
And I will put it in, but he's studied Umbanda and Kimbanda and like Palo Mayombe, like all the various Brazilian traditions, which are basically a really interesting mix of traditional African religion imported by slaves, native religion from the indigenous people, you know, a little bit of Catholicism, somewhat less than traditions like Santeria or Voodoo. but that's in the mix too. I mean, Brazil is such a multi-ethnic, multi-racial country. So anyway, it's about Pombagira, who's one of the deities of that tradition. And I was like, I don't know anything about this. I'm going to read this book.
Fascinating.
So I'm like not really super interested in like that tradition or working with her in particular, but she's often referred to as like a red goddess or the red queen. And she's very much affiliated with, she's usually pictured as being like, you know, very wanton and like her sculptures or statues or effigies are usually like, she's very sexy and she's seen as, you know, and she's a patroness of prostitutes and, you know, like a lot of these traditions that were formed and used by people that were deeply marginalized or literally enslaved. You know, a lot of the direction is for towards the protection of people that are like in grave danger or like living in abject poverty or things like that. So obviously people that are marginalized or are doing jobs that are illegal or frowned upon or any of that, or just trying to survive, she's a goddess of that, somewhat like Santa Muerte. And so she overlaps with a lot of other deities that I work with. And so I'm kind of interested in this sort of current of these like very, very feminine, but not like maternal
right.
types of female archetypes that are very much about sorcery, that are very much about this sort of more practical, more gray morality. Anyway,
yeah.
So far it's really good. His prose is like really stream of consciousness, but he's like super well studied in a bunch of different other traditions. So he'll like make these connections like really quick, being like, you know, and just like in whatever blah blah blah, and then move on to the next thing. And the references that he makes that I know about, I catch, but I'm like, how much other stuff am I missing that
right.
is like packed into here of these references to like other saints or like historical people or, you know, some specific cultures, very specific like astronomy symbolism and all this, you know. So I kind of wish there was more or like more thorough footnotes, because
yeah.
he's just throwing around these references and I'm sure they're all like really, really worth exploring.
Sure.
But because some of them I don't know anything about, I'm not even catching them, because the ones I do know about, I'm like, oh, wow, like you could write a whole chapter on just that comparison right there. And he just kind of threw it in
wow.
as like a little poetic aside. So it's pretty dense. I'm still in the section that's mostly about sort of the history of it and like the vibe of her and sort of, because also the Pombagira is, she can be seen as one goddess or sort of as a legion, as many of the North and South American traditions like that are. So there are many Pombagiras. So you could see her also as like a plurality or like, you know, so then there's all these different versions of her and they're all sort of seen as being kind of under the same umbrella, but not necessarily the same. Or so that also is kind of more foreign
right.
to a Western European cosmology, even if you are pagan or polytheist. So wrapping my head around that was kind of interesting. And then there are like some spells and rituals like further on. That I haven't gotten to that, so
that's
stay tuned for a book review about that.
Oh, I do have
if
some.
I ever finish it.
I was gonna say I do have one thing, and I think what I'd like to do, and I don't know if I'm gonna do this, but I might do a little unboxing video, and don't know where I'm gonna share that content yet, but we'll keep you posted. But I did get my New Wave Tarot. I haven't even opened it because I'm like waiting to be delighted on camera. Or something.
Yes.
Like, I want to share it with
everybody.
I think
everybody. That would be great.
Yeah. I want to share it. So I'm super excited. It's just been sitting on the table for like 3 days. And I'm like, oh, I want to do something with this right now. I did do my, we've discussed this, but it's been a long time ago. But I did my Tarot of Sound, which I guess that's what I'm calling it. I don't know. I kept trying to think of like cool names for using a Spotify playlist as a tarot deck. But I guess I'm calling it Tarot of Sound, but the actual name of the playlist is called called the Reaping Deck, which don't know where that came from either. But
wait, you named it that, or
I named it that? Yeah,
that's awesome.
No, I don't know. It was like, I don't know. It was like a fall. It was like I started it in a fall, and so anyway, I have not had all 78 songs. So I finally like finished it last week. So now it has 78 songs, but I haven't like. When I did it before, I ascribed the songs to an actual card, but the way I kind of use it now is I just like play 10 songs and read it like I would a Celtic cross, but I don't ascribe it to like a card in a tarot deck. I just say, well, this is in this position, this is in this position, this means this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so okay. The song is the symbol in and of itself, not right. Like, oh, this song right. represents
right.
temperance or right. whatever.
Which is what I've done before. I've done that too, but it's more complicated. I kind of like the looser way I'm doing it now. It seems to work better for me right now. So, but yeah,
Ooh,
that's a fun, really fun thing. Do what?
I want to listen to this playlist.
I know it's probably not that great. So the way I picked the last like 20 songs is I like have like a liked songs, you know, just like all the songs that I've liked over, you know, 10 years or whatever. And I just like would go 1, 2, 3 and then like flip, like scrolling 1, 2, 3 and then see which song on whatever screen it landed, which one appealed to me most and picked it. So it's very random. Like there's not really like there are some songs, like I would say the first 45 songs are definitely ones that I like thoughtfully picked because they mean something to me or have some sort of significance. But the last, you know, 20 or 30 are just like, we'll see. I mean, like all the songs in my liked songs, like clearly I like them for a reason. I don't know. We'll just see how it works. And I mean, there's also like no rules. I can change the songs out if they don't seem to be like resonating with me. So it's fun. Try it.
Yeah, I will. I like that.
I like it too. I can cut some cat information out in case that does not.
I mean, flip-flop is flip-flop makes sense because flip-flop had to do with the bat.
Flip-flop.
And also having nature come inside.
Yes.
Is witchy.
That's true. Oh, you know, that did make me, when I released him to the garden, when my husband released him to the garden, I did think for a fleeting second, what conjured this? Like, did I conjure this lizard in my house? What does it mean? If I had my time on my mat, maybe I could figure that out now that Flippy Flop is out of the house. Maybe
it's
I will
clearly
try.
The ghost of Jim Morrison trying to communicate with you.
Is he? Is he? Is he just like, is that why?
Dude, have you seen my husband's hair lately?
Is it out of control?
He's like full on the reincarnation of late stage Jim Morrison.
Oh, Lord.
His hair is longer than mine and his beard is like.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, I love Jim. Jim was also a Sag. So the most philosophical of the signs. That's something he said at a concert. He's like, philosoph. But his common law wife is a redhead, and he handfasted a redheaded witch. So clearly Jim knows what's up with the ladies, as does my husband.
Apparently so. Yeah, let's make this a quick one. Yay!
Yay, we did it!
Hex Rider, let's say... Let's say our goodbyes. 1, 2, 3. Hocus,
hocus pocus, bitches.